Now let us go into the 13th chapter, which to me is an immensely interesting prophecy, and I'd like, if at all possible, to get through the bulk of the 14th chapter in that too. So we want to cover a lot of ground if we can. If we don't get through it, well, we won't. Won't worry about it. We'll just cover it next time, Lord willing. This 13th chapter is a prophecy about the destruction of Babylon. Now let's think just for a minute. Babylon, that's the country that took them into captivity. This is a prophecy about the destruction of Babylon. Now this prophecy is given about 200 years before Babylon was destroyed. And some of the remarkable things about it is that, first of all, Babylon wasn't that great of a threat at the time that he gave the prophecy. Babylon really hadn't become that much of a power at all. It still had 130 years to develop its power before the captivity. This would be 130 years before the captivity. And second of all, he says that the Medes are going to be the ones who do the principal destruction of Babylon. And the country of the Medes at this time was practically unheard of. These people were a no people, an unknown people. So this prophecy is during the reign of Ahaz, 200 years before it happens, 130 years before the captivity, and of course they were in captivity for 70 years. And it happens very muchly just as the prophecy describes that it would happen. So he begins by declaring the wrath that God has against Babylon. He says, "The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see." Well, Isaiah, as you know, was the son of Amos, and this prophecy, this chapter, declares very plainly that this is from Isaiah now. Not some other writer. Some other people want to say that it's so accurate and it was given so long before it happened and it must have been another writer after it happened. But it declares very plainly, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see. Now, what is the burden of Babylon? Well, the burden of Babylon is this prophecy about its destruction. If somebody told me how I was going to be destroyed, and I could fully see and know how I was going to be destroyed, that would be a burden for me. I'd rather really not know about it, because it would be something to continually bother you and worry you. Well, this is the burden of Babylon. "Lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain. Exalt the voice unto them. Shake the hand, that they may go into the gates of the nobles." Now this is a picture of God calling the nations that he's going to use for the destruction of Babylon. And so he says, "Lift up a banner on the high hill, on the high mountain." And the revised version says, "Lift it up on the," the American Standard says, "Lift it up on a bare hill." That is, be plain to see it. "Call them, exalt the voice to them, shake the hand," you're motioning for them to come on, "that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones." That is, these people have been sanctified, these other nations, and the word sanctified just simply means to be set aside for a certain purpose. My sanctified ones, they've been set aside for a given purpose, for the purpose of the Lord. "I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness." Now he's talking about these other nations that he's going to call in. "The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people." Now here's what Isaiah heard. As God called these nations in, as he motioned and beckoned to come on, Isaiah heard this noise. "The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people. A tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together." As all of these kingdoms begin to come together in this prophecy, and Isaiah hears it, he hears this tumultuous noise of the multitudes coming together. "The Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle." That's just simply the Lord bringing the host of the battle together. He's getting them all ready for the battle. And history records that Cyrus's army was made up of many different nations. Not only does history record it, but also Scripture records it. In Jeremiah 1, verse 9, and also in Jeremiah 51, verses 27 and 28. We won't turn and read those, but he names some of these nations that participated with the Medes as they attacked Babylon. Verse 5, "They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation, to destroy the whole land. Now, they're coming from a long ways off. They're coming even from what he called here the end of heaven. Who is it coming though? Even the Lord. You may look upon them as a bunch of armies from various countries come together for some purpose, but it's really the Lord coming, even the Lord. And the weapons of his indignation. These people are just the Lord's weapons to destroy the whole land. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Now, when this time was ready to come, there'd be no changing of it. The Lord is going to bring it about. So in the next few verses, we have an account of the consequences of God's visitation and the terror and the dismay of those who are the objects of his coming. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. Now, that's the way it was going to be as these great armies approached Babylon. And they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. They're going to be just like a woman in pains giving birth to a child. There's not going to be any changing or turning away from it. Now is the time. It must happen. And their faces are going to be as flames. That is, they'll be lit up with amazement. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. So he's just telling over again that the Lord is going to come with his destruction. It's going to be cruel both in its wrath and its fierce anger. Then verse 10, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. These catastrophes are going to be so great that nations are going to fall. Great powers, great kingdoms, great kings will cease to be. And that is depicted here in another prophecies by showing that the stars of heaven will not shine, that the sun won't shine, the moon won't give its light. In other places where he's speaking of the rising up of great kingdoms, he speaks of the sun and the moon shining and the stars shining. But here it'll be like they stop shining. As we go outside on a starry night or during a sunshiny day and we look up at the heavenly bodies giving forth that light that they've always given, if there was enough of an upheaval in the universe, we'd look up and they wouldn't be there maybe. Well, that's how it is with people who get so used to powers and as though they were ever always going to be and never ever be changed any kind of way. And suddenly everything is changed and it's as though they'd taken the sun out of the sky and the stars had ceased to shine. And you know, we get so involved today with this idea of patriotism that it comes before God anything else. And really, this nation's not all that old and this government's not all that powerful and not all that sure it's going to last. It's sure not going to outlast God. And I will punish the world. Now this word world here probably means the Babylonian Empire. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Now these people were very arrogant and